just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite films. Here's your team of debauchery, Crazy Carl.
Well, Mouse gets an A for this term.
Wow. Sorry, I have to say this. This was actually a blooper. We had to go back and re-record because of some technical issues, and that still hit me. But the reason it hits me is because in Assassination of a High School Principal, this same actress is asked during it. This guy asks her, he says, "So you just sleep with people to get your way?" And she goes, "Well, I got an A, didn't I?" Same actress. And I get where you were going with the whole roommate killer thing. But yeah.
Finish all your right, introduction.
Lovely Lisa.
I need you to define the square in less Greek.
My brain broke.
That's kind of how Lisa felt watching that math class scene.
I gotcha. Okay. And unfortunately, Sexy Scully will not be joining us tonight. So for those of you fanboys out there, we'll see you next week. No, I'm just kidding. Lovely Lisa's still here.
We lost Scully due to random act of car. She'll be
back. I still call it the Gods Hate Movies in the Buff. But anyway.
We're all going to the special hell. It's okay.
That's exactly how it goes about. All right. And this week we are doing Lost and Delirious and In the Buff.
I did not know that, Rod.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'll bring it up in the round table.
Gotcha. A newcomer to a posh girls boarding school discovers that her two senior roommates are lovers.
Because they definitely went out of your way to let you know that they went out of their way to let you know they were singers. No, they didn't.
They did. I think they said it at the beginning of the movie.
No,
I think.
Did
they not?
At one point, one of the Polly makes reference to the fact that they'll be going to another school, and I don't even remember
once
what it is. But it's only that there's that, and then in one place they refer to Tori's boyfriend as being a senior. That's it. Other than that, it's just two high school girls.
Huh. Okay. Well, anyway, like or dislike segment, Carl?
Meh. Meh. Sproing. Meh. Meh.
See, I chose this movie pretty much knowing that it was not your kind of movie.
It's all right. It's not terrible. It runs on the border of, you know, classic storytelling or classic literature storytelling and artsy film. Mm-hmm. And it runs that border really well, but
yeah.
You know, a lot of the story to me was just eh.
Fair enough. Lisa, were you wet or frigid for Lost and Delirious?
How would I describe entertaining crap?
Just like that? Popcorn?
Yeah.
Are you saying this is a good popcorn flick? Sit back, eat your popcorn, don't think too hard?
Oh, I wasn't thinking too hard. But I didn't have any popcorn. I did have candy corns.
Not even going there. There are places that we cannot go.
No, there's
not. We're already going to the special hell.
I know. And see, it's at this point right now that I really, really am starting to miss Scully, because she would either be completely and totally on my side with this, or I would be completely screwed and it'd be hilarious. But...
Well, let's just go with you're completely screwed and this episode's going to be hilarious.
Fair enough. Alright, so... As far as my like or dislike, I'm gonna say that I'm hard for this movie, but.
At least in one scene.
I remember it being way better. Actually, to be honest with you, the, you know, lesbian softcore scenes were, meh, And I think that was really drawn down by the fact that Piper Perabo was made to look kind of greasy and nasty. And the other girl, Jessica, I can't, I don't French names. Perret. Okay. She is pseudo attractive at best. And so I think that really threw that off for me. But to me, this film is a, what's the name of that movie? Dead Poets Society, only with chicks and not as good.
I'll give you that, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know about the not as good, but I'll give you the Dead Poets Society with chicks.
And I'm completely
I don't really remember Dead Poets Society. I think I watched it.
It's the one with Robin Williams as the teacher.
I'm fairly certain y'all own it.
Yeah, I know we own it. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yep. Anyways, now, to me, the reason why it doesn't get as good, and I'm kind of ruining one of my rant jokes later, but the reason it doesn't get as good is because it doesn't have the focus points, the really spectacular focus points, like, for example, the Robin Williams character.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that. And they tried to replace that with kind of out there, mental, strung out, you know, psycho crap. And I don't think they played that as well as they could have.
Yeah. They did a fairly decent job, though,
yeah,
with those of getting inside Polly's head.
Yeah, I agree with you. Before we get too far into that, though, let's go into who would you do.
Oh, dear God.
Carl, we have
Jesus
gone forever.
Christ. We have gone forever without any choices, and now they're like...
way too many.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, if I go with my first choice, I'm going to the you're gonna send me to the special hell, so let me find a second choice.
I may not, because it may be mine too.
Oh no, you'll send me to the special hell if I tell you who my first choice is.
Okay.
I might send him to the special hell.
I wanna know now, it's been built up, who is it?
Allison Mulyer.
Really? Yeah, you're right, I'm going to. Wow, okay.
Well,
yeah, you're going to the special hell.
Now, the only reason is because of who the actress is.
Yeah, but the actress now is not the character then.
I know. That's why I said
we're choosing by character here.
I know. Let's see. If I'm going by character, oof. You know, I think I'm gonna go with Polly.
Polly, really?
As much as I keep saying, don't fuck crazy, I would have to do Pauline.
I dig crazy chicks. Anyway, Lisa, who would you do?
You know, I'm going to have to agree with you, Carl.
To me, Polly was... I mean, she was kind of fun, especially at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning of the movie, she's great.
She was a lot of fun, and just for that reason, I would have chosen her. But by the end of the movie, she was knocked down, drag out, full-on crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the scream thing really freaked me out, and it makes me worry that she might do that in bed. And on top of that, she just looked greasy through the whole movie. Like, dirty greasy. Now, the reason why I said that I may not send you to the special hell is because I actually think I might have gone for Mary.
Yeah. See, it's a choice for me between those two.
Yeah, and see, the thing about it is if it wasn't completely illegal, I loved Mary's character. And that's the kind of chick that I would hook up with, only, you know, of age.
The problem with, in my opinion, with Mary, she was too innocent.
Not by the end.
Even still at the end, she was.
There were other things she was innocent on. I wouldn't want to do innocent.
See, that's a turn on for me, I'm not going to lie.
And see, to me, she's just... She is not a character in and of herself to me in this movie.
She's not, and I have a theory on that, actually.
Yeah, to me, she is, you know, she's...
She's the droids.
No.
Wait, did you say roids?
No,
the droids. She's the droid. She's the focal point that the story is being told from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's
the narrator.
And it's not even that. She's not a character. She is the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. She is where the audience is sitting watching this play out on the stage.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I meant by the droids.
Yeah.
But you know the theory that Star Wars is told from the perspective of the droids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
But even the droids are still characters.
Yeah, this did it better. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
I mean, she really is not a character.
But she did have a personality in some aspects.
She does have a personality, and she does have...
She has a story that I wish they would have elaborated on a little better.
Yeah.
You know, the I Hate Daddy story would have been really awesome had there been more background.
Mm-hmm.
But they were too busy focusing on Polly's breakdown.
Yeah, this is Polly, and this is Polly's story, but it's told from outside of Polly.
Yeah.
Because that's the better place to tell the story from.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so into our roundtable. Let's start with Mouse getting, sent to the boarding school, and her dad's,
her parents, who I will now refer to as the Reverend and Mrs. My husband had a midlife crisis.
I don't get the parents thing at all, and that's where I was getting at. She needs more backstory.
Yeah.
Like, they really needed to elaborate on the parents. Why did they all of a sudden decide at this age to send her to a boarding school?
Oh, you didn't get that?
No, I didn't catch that.
Her mom died 3 years ago, and her dad's finally gotten remarried, and the stepmom...
Oh.
The stepmom is the impetus behind sending her to boarding school, because she's, according to Mouse, she's jealous of Mouse and her dad's relationship with each other.
Although, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Why?
Because, as made painfully obvious by the end of the movie, her dad literally doesn't have time for her.
No, I don't think that was it. I think, honestly, from, what we got, from what little we got of her parents, I honestly see that more as her stepmom finding a way to keep him from coming.
I think Carl's right on that one.
Either that, or it's just, I was very much sensing, and I caught the, her mom died angle, I just wasn't sure on the time frame, but I was very much sensing the idea that, the dad saw her as a reminder of her mother and tried to keep his distance, because even when he's giving her a hug at the beginning and sending her on her way, it's very cold, it's very, distant.
It was awkward.
But it wasn't, it had nothing to do with her dad sending her to boarding school. It was pretty much you're given the impression that it was her stepmom's idea and that she talked him into it because she was jealous of their relationship.
Yeah, maybe. Then she meets Victoria,
yep,
who is a character that is forever hated in my eyes.
Yeah,
I couldn't stand Victoria.
Yeah, but can I just say that... Lisa and I have this thing where she is a cross between Dawn and Tara from Buffy. Like, at one point, we had to look to see if it wasn't Michelle Trachtenberg playing her. Because
she kind of has
some of her mannerisms. But she keeps switching mannerisms between Michelle Trachtenberg and Tara.
Yeah, and Michelle Trachtenberg and... 2001 was not old enough to do a nude scene.
Yeah, but I can't remember. I can't remember the name of the actress who played Tara either. So,
Amber Benson.
See, I knew he'd know that.
I had to think about it for a second.
Of course he did.
Yeah. The only reason I actually know that is because I just watched a Supernatural episode the other day with her in it.
Yeah, and now that you've said it, I remember, but yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Okay, so she meets Victoria. Victoria is the, everybody loves her, popular girl, rich bitch.
She's not a bitch yet,
but she's a bitch. She's not acting like a bitch yet because everything's all perfect in their little world, but when it starts crumbling down, she really shows what she is.
I get her as, I see her as a very internally conflicted character who ends up making bad choices.
A lot of them. Very self-fulfilling choices.
Well, my problem with her was...
You mean self-centered?
Wasn't that she was rich bitch. I mean, yes, she eventually became the bitch along with being rich. But my problem was...
we could literally make... Oh, go ahead.
Was she couldn't handle making... a choice to be happy.
Yeah.
We could literally make this entire roundtable and just go through the list of characters on IMDb and break each one down. That would be the roundtable.
Yeah.
Because, the frame by frame is pretty basic.
Yeah, really there's not
really good.
I mean, the scenes kind of flow together.
Yeah, they do. And the only thing that really pops out at me is, you know, you have Mouse finds out that her roommates are lesbians.
No, Mouse finds out that her roommates are in love with each other and sleeping together.
Yeah.
There you go.
Then you have, they find the hawk while running.
Mm-hmm.
Which becomes a major key story point. Then you have...
I thought that was a hawk, Carl.
Yes.
The sister finds out. Yeah, it's a... No, she... Looks like a chicken hawk. But she keeps calling it a raptor.
Yeah, well, raptor is a generic term for all birds of prey.
Yeah.
Which is something that Lisa's like, that's not a raptor. And I was like, yes, it is.
Yeah, raptor.
But I never got a chance to explain it to her.
Yeah. But anyway, it actually did look like a chicken hawk, though.
I don't know what kind of hawk it was. I thought at first it was a red-tailed hawk until it started flying.
Yeah, no, I knew that. But anyway, moving on, you have the sister finds out about them and causes us all kinds of crap. Polly tries to get her back. Doesn't work. Polly goes insane. Polly stabs boyfriend. Polly jumps off building. Oh, and spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And that's literally the movie right there, scene by scene. But where the movie actually shines is the breakdown of each character.
Oh, it's a Harris Hawk.
Is it?
Yep.
I have no idea what that is. Like, I know a lot of hawks. I don't know what that one is. Yeah. Anyway, I'll have to wiki it later. So, let's start at the top. Pauline.
Let's break down everybody else before we do Pauline.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, she goes through so many twists and turns, I got lost.
We pretty much voiced all of our opinions on Tori.
Yeah.
Mouse, we've pretty much talked about.
Well, we didn't really get into Tori's... We really didn't get into the whole conflict with Tori.
Okay, go ahead.
And that is, you know, Tori is madly in love with another woman and knows absolutely, or, you know, and feels that her parents will, you know, disown her and yada, yada, yada if she lets them know. And when her sister finds out, she ends up having to break off the relationship in order to keep her parents from finding out because she couldn't handle that. And
yeah, but she doesn't even really break off the relationship. She just kind of ignores her. Like, there's no conversation that goes on between...
Yeah, there's no conversation
Polly
between them.
Not real conversation. There's
not
like
until
one
until things
scene.
Gotten so bad that it
which,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, which is, you know, which was a terrible choice in and of itself.
Well,
and
that was. Plus, I mean, the entire idea of trying to maintain your status with your family, I get. But, I mean, you really got to choose what's important to you, and obviously what's important to the person whose life you've affected.
Yeah, and what was... And that was the thing, is that she was unable to make the choice. She was unable to value her own happiness over the approval of her family. And that was...
Exactly.
That was what her conflict was, and, you know, making that choice while, you know, none of the rest of us think that that's a good idea...
Yes, but also really break it down into what it is. I mean, we're talking about 17-year-old girls.
Well, theoretically, they were 18-year-old girls.
Theoretically, 18, 17, whatever you want to call it.
They had
high school girls. Let's leave it at that.
Rod, they had to have been 18. Otherwise, they couldn't have shot a nude scene.
The actresses had to be.
No. The characters have to be.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't shoot a nude scene.
Mm-hmm. You can't shoot a nude scene with a character who's portraying someone under the age of 18, which is why I was so impressed by the fact that they barely mentioned them being seniors. Exactly enough to get away with.
There was a movie just recently with Nicolas Cage, though, and I don't remember the name of it, but it had Nicolas Cage and that chick that played in Year One. The chick actually plays a girl who's supposed to be 12 years old. And there's actually a fully nude sex scene in it.
Hmm.
So, they've gotten very laxed on that law as of late.
And I have.
And it also kind of depends on how much you pad the pocket of the MPAA. But, that's right, Movies in the Buff takes on the MPAA. What you gonna do about it? Internet, freedom of speech, bitch. Anyway.
One star review, the MPAA.
I don't give a shit.
Drink!
Yeah. I think they're a worthless process of institution. Anyway.
Moving on.
Yes, moving on before I really get myself in trouble.
No, we're only allowed
on FDA.
Rod.
Uh-huh.
Federal guidelines only permit one Rod's rants per episode.
Gotcha. Federal guidelines, you mean Carl's guidelines?
Those too.
What about Lisa's guidelines?
Nobody
cares. Wait, that only includes I don't need to know about your sex life. Okay, we covered that. Moving on.
Never listen to that rule.
Yes, I do.
All right. Speaking of sex life, let's go back into Polly and Tori's degrading relationship and Polly's degrading mental state.
Yeah.
As the effect. It really got kind of ridiculous to me at one point. And I had to stop and remind myself that these are teenage girls.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I brought that up.
Yeah.
They're very much teenage girls, but, and...
They were over-dramatizing it, though.
No.
Not for teenage girls.
No, well, I don't remember going through something... Yeah. I remember going through a similar situation, but I don't remember either side blowing up like that.
And I'm going to skip ahead to, you know, my mental debuff here. But this really, really is, how did I put it? Yeah, it's 21st century teen angst meets 18th century literature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. I mean, they are, you know, it is the love that you only see in classic romance literature is what they're portraying here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that kind of depth of love that really, that the loss of really does drive you crazy. And they keep using, scenes, English class scenes where they're referencing classical literature.
It's always
pound that point in.
They always reference Macbeth through the whole movie.
It's not always Macbeth.
I didn't catch any time that it wasn't. Because I was actually trying to count that.
It's always Shakespearean.
Yeah. But it's always that, you know, it's that level of, love and commitment on Piper's part. And unfortunately, you know, it's that level of love on Tori's part, but it's not that level of commitment.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it really expresses a problem that especially was happening in the early 2000s with teens, but it's really common throughout time with teens is you have these, you know, off-center, unaccepted teens that live mentally in different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense at all that I said? I don't think I worded it right, but you know, Polly literally lived in, you know, Renaissance England. Not Renaissance. What's the word I'm looking? What's the time period I'm looking for? Industrial England.
Mm-hmm.
And these ideas were normal to her, huh?
You're talking 18th century England, but yeah.
Elizabethan. I think that's what I was trying to think of.
Oh. Then you're going way farther back. Anyway, but yeah, she very much is, I don't know that I would say she's someone out of time. But she does have, you know, she has a view of the world that, is difficult.
Completely guided by Shakespeare?
No, not really. I mean, she does have that, you know, I mean, she does take a lot of cues from that, but, and I think that, and that, you know, lends itself, but I think it's the Shakespeare lending itself to her feelings already.
Mm-hmm.
That's driving her there.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's move into Mouse's, you know, view of this situation.
She was aptly named throughout the entire movie. Mouse.
Yeah. Yeah, she never really was Mary Brown.
No, and I'm trying to think of how to explain my thought on her view of their situation. You've got a girl who's significantly younger than the other two. She's trying to assess what's going on around her.
Mm-hmm.
And it even really breaks out when it's like, you know, Tori's not a lesbian. Why can't you deal with it?
Oh, I love, I found that scene really, really well done. I love,
that was awesome.
Yeah, I love Polly's answer to that. And it actually made me stop and think. And, because, you know, until you see that scene and really think about it, you don't realize how weird it is to use the terms straight, lesbian, gay, and bisexual.
Yeah.
And
especially on monogamistic relationships.
Well, it doesn't even, I mean, monogamistic relationships are not. Okay, consider the, think about the difference in mindset that you need when you, okay, think about the difference here. Okay, you have the normal mindset of, you know, a person is gay, straight, lesbian, bisexual, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now think about the mindset inherent in this, in making this statement. Everyone's a every person is, or all persons are people, and people love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the difference?
I can, and I think that was a major theme of this film, you know, do away with labels type.
Yeah.
And I think that they should have really hit on it harder than they did instead of just doing it in that one scene.
Yeah, but even, you know, even the statement do away with labels,
mm-hmm,
is, in and of itself, it doesn't carry the same emotional concept.
Exactly.
That they were trying to go with. I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, the statement do away, that we should do away with labels is, you know, overused, although I think it is.
It is.
But I think,
and I think that's why they brought a new, created a new way to bring that out in this film.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think that it's really, that even, you know, even what labels we do use are, you know, in some ways harmful, especially mm-hmm in this age group.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I agree with every bit of that. But look at it from, once again, like I was saying before, Mouse's perspective, and look at what's going on around her.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, you know, the next 6 months after the events of this film, mm-hmm, Mouse is messed up.
I don't know. She, from the epilogue of this movie, leads you to believe that, you know.
From the what?
Sorry. The epilogue of this movie.
The voiceover.
Yeah, her voiceover at the end. That okay, this movie actually,
no, that's fine, fixed her. Not really bad. Yeah. It may have, but to me, I mean, to be at a point where you're trying to, you know, play peacemaker in this situation and then to have it end with someone jumping off of a roof.
Yeah, and see, I don't see her.
I don't know if she'd be messed up, but I'm pretty sure she'd be grieving because they were both her friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I don't think she ever really was trying to play peacemaker. And that's part of the thing I say about,
you can't play peacemaker.
Yeah, but, you know, Mouse is not a character in this movie. Mouse is a vehicle for us to see the story through.
Mouse, in and of herself, was, yes, like Carl said, a vehicle to see the story through. But when you take her out of that situation and put her in the story, all she was trying to fit in.
She was just trying to exist and trying to understand. And like I said, I don't think she was a character.
Yeah. Beyond that, I mean, we have, you know, the viewpoint of Faye, which is.
Oh, and there's a character who definitely needed more. Who definitely.
Exactly.
You needed to see more of. Or not, yeah, not necessarily see more of, but see more into.
Yeah.
Yeah, you needed more backstory.
Oh, absolutely, because all you find out about her is that she was a lesbian.
And you don't.
You don't
even
really
find
that out. You know she was hurt by love, and that was it.
She pretty much says it by the end. I mean, you get it.
Yeah, she does kind of say it. And there are rumors at the school that she and Eleanor are sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
But
which I don't think that part was true.
You don't know.
Yeah, and this is just my opinion. They never actually confirm nor deny anything here. But in my opinion, Faye definitely was a lesbian and had an experience similar to Polly's. I honestly think that Eleanor would be that experience. Like, she had feelings for Eleanor, but it never happened because Eleanor was not attracted.
I don't think it would have been her. I don't think it would have been Eleanor because, one, of the vast age difference.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Either way, though, I don't think that that ever happened, but I do think that Faye had been in Polly's situation or something very similar to it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, the only other character of note would be the, you know, wise gardener, Joe Menzies. I can't pronounce it.
Yeah.
Like
Graham Greene, I love him. I love everything he's ever done.
He was just, he pulled that character so well.
Yeah.
And if you really want a great taste
of Graham Greene's
if you really want a taste of Graham Greene's acting, go and watch The Green Mile.
Yeah. Or watch Defiance. He's really good in that, too.
I haven't seen Defiance. Yeah.
He is really good in that.
That chance, yeah. But in The
he
Green
plays
Mile.
He plays a minor in that one. Go figure.
Yeah, he's a father, a single father, or a widowed father of three teenagers.
Gotcha.
Actually, I don't think his oldest was a teenager anymore.
Well, he's,
still living at home.
Your late 20s, but yeah, still living at home.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, though, in this movie, he plays the wise gardener, gives advice, has conversations, has some of the best dialogue in the whole film.
Yeah, and, the dialogue or the scenes with him and Mouse are the only times you ever, get to even attempt to peek under the curtain that is Mouse. Even though she's narrating this story.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Oh, excuse me. It's been a very long day.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's an interesting concept, and I should have brought this up when we were talking about Mouse, though.
What's that?
I'm looking through the quotes on this, and the, have you ever been really thirsty, and you open a carton of milk, and you pour it in your mouth, and it's sour? Mm-hmm. That happened inside me forever. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the best description of her character, as a character that you can get, rather than as the narrator, or as the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Or that you can get within the movie, I mean. Yeah.
And can we point out that every other character in this story, as exemplified by Emily Van Camp, because she pretty much is the face of every other student at this school, is that this is what is wrong with prejudice.
Uh-huh.
And this is what is toxic about prejudice.
Did you say toxic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It spreads.
Then I can agree with that.
Well, no, the rampant homophobia and prejudice that is exemplified or that is exhibited by every student at this school, particularly her, is what caused all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There was a very strong message in that, and it's a message that was pretty popular at the time, because if you think about where acceptance of, homosexuals was 10 years ago versus where it is today, it's a whole different
10
country.
Years ago? Dude, we're still barely accepting now.
And we're more accepting than we were 10 years ago, than we were 12 years ago, but yes.
Yeah.
It still needs to come farther.
Absolutely.
Anyways, the last thing I want to do is get into the whole political side of this on this show.
I wasn't even going to go political. I was going to go social. We still need to get better. Yeah. We're getting better, but we're not where we need to be yet.
Either way, though, beyond that, yeah, there's really no other characters of note. There is the point where, Lauren, Grace Kung, is dancing, which was kind of disturbing.
I don't remember her dancing.
Yeah, it was pretty disturbing. Yeah. A lot of hot chicks in this movie, though.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of chicks that eventually became hot in this movie.
That too.
Emily Van Camp, gorgeous now.
God, yes. And still, her face has not changed one bit.
Not much, no.
Like, no, seriously, her opening scene when she runs in and jumps on her sister's bed and then turns and you see her full face in the camera, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he asked me if I knew who that was. No.
I was like, did you see that? And she goes, no. And I backed it up, ran through the scene again, and froze right when she turns to face the camera. And she goes,
me.
Who is it? And I go, it's Emily from Revenge.
To me, Misha Barton is gorgeous.
Misha Barton.
She played Mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she is gorgeous now.
Yeah. She was still cute in the movie.
She was. She was, like, 15. It was 2 years after she did Sixth Sense. So.
Yeah, I don't remember her from Sixth Sense.
She was the ghost that gave the boy the video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's why I don't remember her, because
the one that threw
I
up
hate
and
that.
Then...
Yeah, I hate that scene of her throwing up.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So that actually concludes our roundtable, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm looking back through here trying to figure out where I recognized Dad from.
Yeah, I knew him too.
I didn't recognize him at all.
Yeah, he looked familiar, but I'm not seeing, like, he's been in some things. He was in Day After Tomorrow and Aviator, so I may actually recognize him from that, but he's also got
Barney.
One of those faces, I think.
Yeah, he was in Barney, I mean, if that helps.
No, that doesn't help me at all.
He does a lot of Italian stuff. He was in Deception. No, I'm not seeing anything. Okay, that pretty much concludes our roundtable if we have nothing else.
Yep, I think I'm good.
All right, so that moves us into... Let's do buff quotes. Lisa, do you want to start us off?
Oh, wait, I do have one thing.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Of course!
Sorry, it was my final thought on this movie,
uh-huh.
was when she goes off the roof. Who was looking at that roof going, she could have survived that?
Actually, you know what I was thinking?
Hmm.
Well, my first thought is, there's a lot of roll down from where she jumped to where you actually fall.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking. She could have survived that. Because it's only like a 3-story drop from the edge of the roof.
Yeah, my second thought on this was, this is like the third movie we've done where somebody flies off of a Gothic-style roof.
Wait, one... Okay, we've got The Omen with Chick off the balcony.
Uh-huh.
Not the roof, but a balcony. We've got this one, and what was the other one?
The Crow.
Oh, yeah, out the window.
It was off the Gothic church.
Yeah, okay.
This is the third one we've had with somebody flying off of a Gothic building.
Or with somebody jumping off a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, buff quotes, Lisa?
You can go fuck yourself sideways.
Good quote.
Well, I tried that before, but it gets a little uncomfortable about 20 minutes
Overshare! In. Drink.
Alright, Carl.
I ended up having to go with dialogue on this one. And how much does it matter what other people think? Depends on how much they're paying you, I guess.
I could go like 3 ways on this one. I'm pretty much soaking everybody I've ever paid.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. So,
Overshare?
For sex.
I didn't say that.
No, I was adding it.
He did.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go with both of my leftovers that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
And the reason being is because they are literally they perfectly describe 2 aspects of my personality. One is, why not? A duel sounds like fun. The other one would be, do you always fuck your friends up against a tree?
Yes, Rod, you probably do. Don't answer
Not
that. I don't
them.
Need to know.
Not all of them. I mean, you and Carl are still safe.
Thank you!
You know what we skipped, Rod?
Huh?
People who liked this also like...
Oh, we did, didn't we? Go ahead and do it.
Because all of these movies I've never heard of except for one. When Night is Falling, I Can't Think Straight, which does sound like an interesting movie.
It does.
Loving Annabelle, which I think I've heard of but never seen. Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
The Reader and The Devil Wears Prada.
The Devil Wears Prada is the only one that I ever saw.
I've not seen it.
Hey, have you ever actually clicked on the next 6 button?
No, I haven't.
We're like skipping half of our.
Oh, I know.
Also liked every week.
Okay, fine. Slumdog Millionaire, Crazy Beautiful, Memoirs of a Geisha, Before Sunset, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and Little Children.
See, that goes from 1 that I've heard of to 5.
Yeah.
So, I just now realized that there was an X6 button on IMDb.
Yeah, it's been there. I just like the top 6.
Oh, fair enough. You can stick with that from now on if you want. It's up to you.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on into Best Buffed. Carl, you want to start us off with your awards?
Sure. We're going to give Victoria the Windtalkers Award for Mixed Messages. Because, really.
Wow.
She does send a lot of mixed messages. And I know it's because she is still kind of screwed up in the head while she's doing it. But it doesn't help matters.
Yeah.
And we're giving this entire movie the Emmy caliber cast award for, you know, casting a movie full of actors who went on to do great television.
Yep.
Seriously, we have, we have the star of Covert Affairs. Mm-hmm. Major guest star, slash co-star of, Mad Men. We have a co-star of Defiance. We have the star of Revenge. And what was the one you were saying?
The OC. Misha Barton was from the OC.
Ah, and yeah. Did she go on to do the OC after this or before this?
Oh, way after this. She was an adult by the time she did the OC.
There we go. So yeah, that's five of them. And those are only the five we know of. We didn't even look for the rest of them.
That in mind, I do have to point out that this movie does not get a Whedonverse connection, a Star Trek connection, or a West Wing walk-on award.
Really?
It doesn't get any of the three. I searched through everything with a microscope.
Wow, I could have swore Graham Greene would have gotten a West Wing walk-on.
Nope. I looked through his entire thing.
Huh.
It's kind of disappointing, actually.
Okay.
I couldn't believe none of them. Okay, Lisa, what are your best spots?
Hey, I know that chick award. And that's it.
That's the only one you had?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have the, you know, Mouse gets the Star Wars Droid Storytelling Award for the reason that I mentioned earlier, being that she was the focal, you know, the narration point of the story. I give the Superman button that Polly wore through most of the movie the I Have That Prop Award, which is a new award that I'm giving every time I see a prop that I actually own. I am giving the fencing scenes the Inigo Montoya Almost Swordplay Award. Tell me y'all all got that.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa, you got that, right?
Of course.
Okay. Tell me you got that, audience, because if not, why are you listening to my show?
And when are we reviewing that movie?
We need to, as soon as possible. It is not streaming, last I checked.
Oh, really?
I can check again later, but yeah.
Yeah.
Last I checked, it's not streaming. My last award is Polly gets the R. Kelly I Believe I Can Fly Award.
Oh!
Oh!
Moo!
I knew y'all would like
Moo!
That.
Moo!
Oh, look at the bright side. At least I didn't give her the R. Kelly I Believe I Can Drown in His Piss Award.
Uh-huh.
So.
You!
Alright, that is the last of my best buff, which moves us into Were You Playing With Your Willy?
By the way, Princess Bride is really still not streaming again.
That's not? Okay.
No. Although I think we all own it.
I don't, but I can get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Or are you playing with your Willy, Lisa?
For my first question, what was her name?
Which one?
The narrator's name.
Mouse.
When you, the first time you see Mouse's bedroom.
Okay.
There's a shelf over the bed. What is on that shelf?
When you first see it, nothing.
When you first see it, there's nothing on it.
Well, when she gets out of the bed the first time, I noticed it. How's that?
Okay. Her teddy bear?
That's my best guess. A picture.
Two bears and a fairy.
I claim that
point. No, no, no. This movie was about lesbians, not... Oh.
Move.
I'm sorry. I had to make the joke. I had to. All right. What's the next one?
Tori's boyfriend said he played who in Hamlet?
God, I don't remember that at all.
Enzio?
No. Leertz.
Leertz. That's right.
Yay!
That was funny. Okay, Carl, go for it.
Let's see. Polly. How difficult, how evil do I want to be?
That's entirely up to you.
Okay.
You're already going to the special hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What is on the banner at the head of Polly's bed?
That's an excellent question. I'll find that out for you as soon as possible.
Stop that.
I remember it had a face on it.
Uh-huh.
That's all I can remember.
Rod?
I don't remember.
It's a map of South America with Che Guevara's head on it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I see why you had that question.
Well, no, I was looking at the scene and I go, ooh, that's a map of South America. I should make that a question. And then it pans up and I see Che Guevara's head on it.
Gotcha.
Okay, and, when Mary first meets, the gardener Joe, they're standing in front of a building. What is written on the side of that building?
There was something written on the building? Okay. Jeez,
I did not pay nearly enough attention to this film. I'm out.
No idea.
The letter B. It's stamped on two corners right behind her head.
I should have gotten that. Like, now that you say that, I see it.
Yeah.
I still don't.
All right. Rod?
Okay. All right, first one is, what computer was on the corner of the principal's desk? Faye's desk.
An IBM? Oh, no, it's an Apple II.
Do I want to give this one to you at all?
Well, I don't have a guess.
With an Apple II clone.
It was an IBM.
Was it an IBM?
Okay. It was an IBM.
You did say IBM first. I'm going to give it to you because you did say it first.
Well, it's that same style.
It is the same style.
I switched from IBM to Apple II because they both had similar styles.
Only reason that I could see it is because one, you know, high def TV.
Yeah.
And you could see the actual stamp at the bottom, the little metal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have an IBM computer in the closet and I know what their metal stamps look like.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Which one of these do I want to use? Okay, in the library, when Polly confesses, you know, her love to Victoria after they're, you know, split up, standing on the table if you're having any more confusion, how many earrings was Victoria wearing?
Three.
I'm guessing four.
Lisa actually got it.
Yeah, I forgot to count the other ear.
Two in each ear and that one.
Oh, really? Because the whole rest of the movie, she's got three in one.
I know, that's why I put that down.
And I thought I forgot to count the one in the other ear.
Yeah, but, that's actually why I ended up putting that down, is because it's the only time in the movie where she has two in each ear. Instead of three on one and one on the other.
Yeah. Although it's still four.
And I said four.
Alrighty.
Okay, so what's the score? I know I didn't get any. I won. At least you got one. Huh?
I got two. I got one of yours and one of Lisa's.
Alright, so go ahead and ask yours.
How did you get one of mine? There was two bears and a fairy.
I claim bear.
Me to get a tiebreaker?
Yeah, okay, give us a tiebreaker.
Alright. In the opening scene, there's a sign indicating which way the curve is going in the road. Which way is the sign pointing?
To the right.
Left.
It was the right. Because they were coming the other direction. The sign was pointing to the right.
For the record, in movies, when they're in a car driving, the curve is almost always to the right.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, Carl, I don't even remember the sign. I was just saying the opposite of you, because I knew it was 50-50
spot. I don't either, but I do know that in most movies, if they're driving, the curve is almost always to the right.
I would have killed to have the recording of her saying, "For the record, Carl, eat me." I wanted to hear this. I thought it was coming. I really did. Anyway.
No, it comes later after the recording. Then it's not for the record.
Thank God for that.
Definitely not.
You walked into that, Rod.
Yes, you did.
Apparently you did.
Hey, come back to your mic.
You walked away from the mic.
Oh, sorry. No, I just turned. I smacked it so that I could, you know, pop Carl in the face.
Now we can barely hear you.
You still barely hear me?
Yeah, okay, you're getting louder now.
Because I'm leaning in.
Yeah. Yeah, you lowered the volume on your mic.
Better?
Yep.
Oh, much.
Oh, no, what happened is I have it on auto since my volume, and when I smack the mic, it tends to dip louder. Pump it down. Oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yes. Audience questions. Okay, because I want to make you watch the movie more, audience. What month did Mary's mom ask her to remember her?
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
What was that question again?
What, when Mary's mother asked Mary to remember her, what month was it? I'm getting flipped off from Lisa.
Alright, Lisa, what was your audience?
No, question? I remember that. You're getting flipped off because that was my question.
Oh.
Oh no.
Got another one, you want it?
Yes, because I had another way to word that, but Rod and you both ruined it.
There you go. That's the top one. That's the one I haven't asked yet. And an extra question.
I didn't ruin anything.
How many barrettes, how many pink barrettes does Mouse have in her hair on the first day?
42.
No.
Why would she have the answer to life and everything?
Well, I mean, perhaps if you'd been more specific. I'm sorry. I'm in a Hitchhiker's Guide mood tonight for some reason.
We've all noticed. Right.
Get to bring a towel.
Not again. All right. Oh, so as for my audience question, drink everybody. And as for my audience question, I asked earlier how many rings was Victoria wearing in the library. Now I want to know at the end of the film when Polly jumps, how many earrings was Victoria wearing in her ear?
Seriously.
Okay, then I'll give you a different one. Which superhero logo was on Polly's pin?
Seriously.
Come
on.
The
only two I've got, and I learned them both.
All right.
You can answer either of those, audience.
Yep. And as always, answer your questions by going to Movies in the Buff and clicking on
Buff.com.
What is it, the game?
Games.
Games, yeah.
And then
you find the form. You can send us your answers. Because nobody sends us their answers.
I know.
You don't have to answer all of them, guys. You can answer any of them.
It's kind of disappointing. But remember, we will use any kind of internet tag handle or whatever you want. Do your mom 69 or whatever. And, you know,
hell,
give you props on the air.
You can give us something that will take less than 60 seconds to read, and we'll read it.
Yep.
So, hey, free advertising.
There you go.
All you gotta do is answer a question correctly.
And with that, we're going to move into mental debuff, and Carl has won the right to go first this week.
And Carl has already given his mental debuff. 21st century teen angst meets 18th century literature. Add cameras.
Add cameras. Make sure you have 12 different angles.
And you gotta have the lighting just right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And turn somebody blue. Anybody who gets that reference, I'm going to laugh.
And by the way, make sure that when you go out, you flip the whole school the bird.
Yeah, if this hadn't ended with her jumping off the roof, I really see her, like, walking down the field with her fist over her head, you know, circa Breakfast Club, 1980.
No, you didn't get that.
No, I didn't.
You so failed to get that and ruined my joke.
I'm sorry.
What is sitting on her wrist and goes flying off when she jumps?
She
literally flipped the whole school the bird.
Yeah, my joke was better.
No, it wasn't.
That was a horrible joke.
It was only horrible because I had to explain it.
You had to explain it because it was horrible. Anyway, okay, so any opinions on this, email them to endthebuffffilms@gmail.com, and we'll move on into Lisa's mental debuff.
Yeah, okay, can I go watch COVID Affairs now?
Somehow I knew... Go ahead, what were you saying, Carl?
After you get done being the meat between a Polly and Tori sandwich?
Not Tori.
Okay, a Polly and Mouse sandwich?
Maybe Mouse.
We're all going to the special hell.
Duh.
Okay. excuse me.
And now it's time for us to mute our microphones, isn't it?
Actually, before we go into Rod's rounds, I have to go chase down a 3-year-old real quick. So if we could just do a quick edit cut. Sorry. And without that out of the way, you know what time it is.
Yep, time to mute your mics.
Does anybody want to see hot tit on tit softcore lesbian action? Then go watch Gia. As for Lost and Delirious, it is far more serious than any of our normal film specimens. And for those of you who can't get it out of your head, yes, Piper Perabo gets naked and has sex with a girl. Are you happy? But the honest truth is there's much better nude scenes in Hollywood. My first examples would include all of them. Well, except for the beach scene in Eurotrip. Not enough alcohol in the world. Okay. On to business. The acting in this film I thought was excellent, and the story being a female counterpart to Dead Poets Society. I do have to point out, as said before, that the film lacks a well-written focus points like characters, like the character John Keating, brilliantly portrayed by Robin Williams. However, it replaces them with girl-on-girl sex scenes and a hawk. Not at the same time. Believe it or not, the movie is an interesting, emotion-invoking ride with a coming-of-age tale of from three distinctive feminine personalities. We have the quiet girl, the dumb bimbo, and the crazy bitch. I do want to say, if you haven't seen the movie before, even if you really, really hate it, it can't be bad enough to jump off of a building. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Not bad.
Yeah. I didn't
the hawk at the same time?
This is not a rant-invoking movie. I will give it that. Like,
no, the movie itself is a rant.
It really is. And so
I think all of the rants are taken by Polly. Yeah. And stolen from Hamlet.
Fair enough. Taken by Polly and stolen from Hamlet.
From Macbeth, yeah.
That's
from Shakespeare.
You know what I did not look up before the show, and I'm actually bringing it up right now?
What our next movie is?
What our next movie is.
Fire with Fire.
What?
Fire with Fire. Okay, does anybody know anything about Fire with Fire?
No.
It's a new release.
It's a new release.
Oh, wait, isn't that the Bruce... Yeah, it's Josh Duhamel and Bruce Willis.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, Bruce Willis, Richard Dawson, and Josh Duhamel. Or Duhamel. And Rosario Dawson. And Vincent D'Onofrio and 50 Cent.
And 50 Cent, really?
Yeah.
We may have to change that.
No, I like it.
Okay, I'll accept it. I had this plan where I was never going to watch a 50 Cent movie ever. So, thanks for ruining that for me.
Well, it has to do with a fireman and a fireman forced to testify, so.
Gotcha. Well, it could be interesting. We do have Fire with Fire. We also have movies that like Capote and Hunt for Red October coming up.
Yep.
So it's going to be a really fun few weeks for us. Next week, Scully will be back. We wish her well.
Yep. And
we wish her car well. And trying to maintain her sanity, because we all know how bad car problems can drive you over the edge. And I just realized an award that I forgot to put on here.
What's that?
The Harpy Screaming Award.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the scream drove me insane. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
you are insane.
I am insane, and my mind is not here. It's all over the place. Next week, Fire with Fire in the Butt. That sounds like a good time.
Actually, I was wrong on that one.
It doesn't sound like nearly as good a time as being lost in Delirious in the Buff did. Before we watched the movie.
One deals with acid, and the other one deals with the dominatrix. Which one do you prefer?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
Interesting question, huh? Uh-huh. Alright, so until then, keep watching those movies in the Buff. You know, it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Night.
Good night.
Hey, Buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at Debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at A Corner Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution,
Non-Commercial,
No Derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.